question indicated, this is looking at community-based strategies across the generations. So we've heard population level, adults, young children, and now Dr. Karen Schiffrendecker is going to talk to us about In Shape Together, a community-based program to promote physical activity, healthy eating, and reduce sedentary behavior, which is, I believe, an intergenerational approach. So thank you.
Yep, thank you. I'm so pleased to see you all here, and I promise to finish 5 minutes early if you promise to stay. So, no. But you can leave if you need to, I'm not. So I'm really pleased. Two of our community leaders are here, actually. Voodoo Fadruji is and already commented, and Laura Ruggles is back here. So if you have any questions about the community perspective, they're here, and you can ask them. And then Rebecca Butcher was a huge part in making this project happen. So I just wanted to acknowledge them. So I have no relationship to disclose. A little bit of background, as Anne mentioned, this is supposed to be an intergenerational multi-level intervention that we developed. We had three sites, a distance of 3 hours between the different sites, but from Dartmouth we were about an hour and 15 roughly minutes from each of our sites. We used the CBPR approach to develop the model, and we use something called an action learning collaborative model, and I want to explain a little bit about that. So action learning collaboratives actually were introduced by IHI, and mostly in clinical settings. That's where most of the research has been done on this model. The idea is that you use QI tools and you learn them to focus on the same problem, and you go through kind of a PDSA cycle to understand what is your baseline, what's the evidence, what should you then implement, how do you study it, and then change your course of action. The unique thing about it is that it's based on a team model whereby clinical teams from different clinical settings form their teams, and then they look at their data together through the process. So let me talk about how we then adapted it for our study. So we had done an ALC process to start with the communities on different projects. And in fact, Rudy and Laurel presented on that yesterday. From that experience, we said, can we take this same model across all three communities, focusing on the same idea of increase in physical activity and nutrition, healthy nutrition, among community members, using this model with community members? So it's a different level of where the ALC was coming in. We were all focusing on the same thing. We had three different sites, which was kind of nice to try to see, did the context affect what we found, and using QI tools. So that was the model that we tried to adapt for the community levels and for the participants. So this is the model. Rebecca, great at this, so I rely on her for these graphics, but the idea behind the ALC model as we envisioned it was given the tools at the individual level that teams would be formed by participants in the program and each community to share the progress and to form a team around their own goals and monitoring that, and then hopefully bringing in change to the community by those actions of, looking at things, trying things, saying, that didn't work, we need more of this, let's see if we can create that in our community. So that was the goal in terms of a bigger change engine in each of these communities. So here were the methods. Each community had a project coordinator, we had our community leaders, we hired local-based research assistants. Now they did not participate in the intervention. They were only there to do the data collection for the project at three time points. And then we had physical activity and nutrition specialists who helped with the team that were part of the implementation team. So our goal was to have 30 participants per site. They had to be at least 12 years old, so we didn't have children, but we wanted to have teenagers and so on that could not be pregnant. Our focus on recruitment was whether they were exercising or not. It wasn't necessarily what their weight was or anything like that. And they had to have a medical clearance. We had 9 monthly ALC meetings. So the whole group would come together each month. And if there was support, we didn't have anything structured in between meetings, but we had suggestions for how teams could do things in between meetings. And if they asked for support or needed some specific thing in between, then depending on the community, it might be the project coordinator, it might be the nutrition specialist, it might be the physical activity specialist. And then we had three measurement points. So this is a design, I hope you can see. So we developed it, we had the training and recruitment of participants, we had a baseline measure, then we had about four ALC meetings, we had a midpoint measurement, the rest of the meetings, and then we had a final assessment with focus groups in each community with participants. You'll see that our intervention went over the winter, and we're in New Hampshire and Vermont, so I just wanted to point that out in terms of increase in physical activity. And our measures were pretty good. We had height, weight, we had a 6-minute walk test, we had a survey done at that time by participants, self-report, and then I mentioned the focus group at the end. ALC meetings, the way they were structured, the first meeting was kind of a overall, where are you at, and you know, what do you know, and what do you want to do, and so on. Inventory of resources was about their own personal resources and maybe community resources. What do you have available to you? The second meeting was focused on, okay, now come up with a plan. And again, this was based on kind of the PDSA model. Think about simple goals, specific goals, measurable goals, those kinds of things. Then the third meeting, we focused more on giving them the tools for how they might do their plan. And so this is when we focused more on trying to develop teams within the group that we had, and more of the kind of QI tools that they might use. So every person at the first meeting, right, they got it's called the CAM, K-A-M. I call it a pedometer on steroids, basically. But we tried to give them some tools, but it was up to them what they wanted to use and what would work for them. So we gave them logs and various kinds of ideas for how could they track their own data and their team data. The last meetings were really not as structured as the first three, but we had this idea that people would report out. So this is the ALC model, that you would report out, you would get feedback, you would decide maybe how to change, set a new goal depending on where you were at, revise your goal, that kind of thing. So, and then there would be activities, so standing up and doing things. And the activities were based on their needs. So they made requests. Here's a picture using stretch bands. I think that was in St. John's Ferry, right, Laurel? Yep. And then we had some nutrition components. But each community tried to listen to what goals were being set, and then how could they provide information or activities to help people support their own goals for improvement. Here's our data analysis in terms of comparing participant characteristics. We used the mixed effects model to look across the three time points and a Bonferroni correction because we had a number of comparisons. So here's our characteristics. The average age at midpoint and final, the participants were more likely to be older. So that was one significant difference. Otherwise, we did not see differences across the three time points in terms of some of the major characteristics, gender, race, education, income. Other characteristics, we did have a number of people. Most people were overweight and obese. And we did not see a significant change in weight or BMI as a result of our project, even though we were trying not to focus on that as the main thing that, you know, we were focusing on the nutrition and physical activity. But in the 9 months, we did not see change in BMI. In terms of specific physical activity outcomes, now most of these are self-reported. The first one is the 6-minute walk test. Now you can see that we see significant change in all of these areas that we measured. However, when we did the correction, the adjustment, the two that remained significant were the number of days that you walked at least 10 minutes in a week and the number of days that you had intense physical activity for at least 20 minutes. So But moving in the right direction in terms of that area. In terms of other outcomes, we did not see much change, any significant change in terms of the nutrition aspect. So, and also the social support for exercise, which I would say kind of surprised us because it was the main emphasis in terms of bringing these people together and trying to increase social support, which we know is an important predictor for doing exercise. And so. And sense of community, same thing. Some of the qualitative feedback that we got, people talked a lot about the social support, so the qualitative feedback actually indicated that that was an important piece of the project that they gained, and you can read the quote there. The support for making lifestyle changes, they felt like they were making changes. They felt that the information that they got was very helpful. One example was the grocery store tour that one of our communities did. And they rated the ALC sessions quite high, and the facilitators and so on. So we got pretty positive feedback in terms of the model that we were using, the sessions that we were having. The challenges, personal challenges, some of these look familiar, I'm sure. Time was a big thing that participants struggled with. Meeting frequency, some of them felt like that once a month wasn't enough and that they wanted more either meetings or stuff that happened in between to kind of help motivate them and so on. And to be honest, when we set this up, we were worried that once a month, you know, we weren't worried that that was too much, but we thought once a week was just going to be too much, and so that's why we settled on that. Sharing individual level data was a challenge. It didn't happen so much. Even at the team level, so that's a barrier for many people that we learned in terms of the model of the PDLSA and sharing data. That was difficult for individuals. Process challenges for us as a team, we realized that there were aspects of the ALC model that weren't happening with the way we set things up. Part of that was maybe reluctance on the part of the participants to do those kind of steps. Team formation did not happen as well as we had hoped, and we realized we needed more time for that to happen. We had limited time to work with our community partners, the whole community teams, in terms of training about the ALC model, and then just time to cover all the different pieces that we were trying to cover. So we had the QIP, we had, you know, the team formation, the content of nutrition and physical activity, and then talking about the community. So 90 minutes in each ALC meeting, kind of a lot to try to touch on. And participants liked the physical activity and nutrition component. They wanted the knowledge. And so their request was more about more of that than learning QI tools. So. Limitations. Recruitment was pretty labor intensive for the communities. It was a big startup period, so to get participants was pretty labor intensive. We had attrition, so about a third of our participants did not end up getting all three time points. But and then we didn't really have a control group, and given that we were doing this over the winter, a control group might have been really interested in terms of understanding, you know, were we actually, the outcomes that we had were quite good, given that when we were doing this intervention. So the conclusion that we have at this point, some participants improved their physical activity outcome. Other outcomes we did not see a difference. Participants seemed to enjoy the program. And what would we say about the ALC model as a potential for future programs like this? Definitely, we think if you're going to go with a team model, they need to be preformed. They come as teams, or you have time to create the teams in a meaningful way. Knowing that sharing individual level data, so have to think about whether that model works in a setting like this, in a group setting to share. And whether the ALC model, maybe it works better at an organizational level. So if a community, a hospital, a work setting, whatever, want to increase physical activity or healthy eating, that maybe having the original place where the ALC model was developed, which is at a higher level, where you'd have, you know, teams of administrators or, I don't know, working together to think about how do we change the environment, for instance, or offering to increase physical activity for our employees or whoever, our community. Maybe that's where it fits best because of the data sharing component and how that might be difficult at an individual level. So I've already acknowledged our community leaders. We have one who's not here, and then our participants. And we were funded by the PRC and the PHTC. So thank you. Okay, 4 minutes. Any questions? I know there might be more questions for other people, so go ahead and Rudy.
Can I tell you something about teams and the idea of teams? You know, Laurel was in Vermont, I was in southwestern New Hampshire. I found we were centered at a church, 30 individuals. They quickly named themselves different than the In Chase Together name. They called themselves Faith and Fitness, and they considered the 30 of them a team. And they considered the teams they were sort of competing against, Manchester and St. Johnsbury. So in a way, that was the dynamic that happened to us, and they didn't want to break into teams of four or six. They were their own team. So I think, have you thought of it that way, perhaps, and
yeah,
they sort of came, and that 30 isn't such a big team? Mm-hmm. I think we would have got that team idea right off the bat, We could have thought about the sister communities as being communities we were interested in and wanted to hear how they were doing and what they're about. So
right.
That's one idea about team, I think, that I felt like we stumbled on.
Yeah. So, like the greatest, the biggest loser or whatever, like,
We do a community challenge with the uh-huh. Years, and we have 10 communities challenging each other for the most intelligent lifestyle.
Yeah.
And they have a website.
Uh-huh. And is it working?
It works wonderfully. We give an incentive of money, not to the people,
uh-huh.
but for each community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
we had one community this year that they bought themselves T-shirts that didn't come from us.
Yeah.
And we do a check presentation and all.
Yeah.
Put it on their Facebook and website. It's really good.
We did consider it. I think we felt, given the resources we had, we couldn't do that effectively. So, and we also really wanted to try to test the ALC model. And I think the difference, and I'm not sure how sustainable those programs are. I mean, how long do people feel that competition? And I think it's suited for certain individuals and maybe not others. But I certainly think it's a very promising method to include, but I think for us we were trying to say could individuals get tools that they could use throughout their lifetime, and I think that was our primary motive. It wasn't this, I don't know how to say that, does that make sense? I think that because that was our focus, it didn't make sense to include that aspect necessarily. We thought about it, and I mean, really just, you know, could we have done that between the communities and so on? But again, it seemed like it would take away from what we were really trying to test with this model. So, but I really appreciate those efforts happening. Any other questions? All right.
Well, I think we're here. Might be a few more questions, but perhaps if the speakers don't mind staying a few minutes, you could ask those questions one-on-one. So again, just a last round of applause for our speakers, and thank you.